The National Anthem.
Game time, NBA, slamming ops like MMA in the octagon. When I'm about to rhyme, I drop a young eight like it's Mamba time. Then eight more, that's a Paul Gasol, they gon' say, whoa, that boy's raw. Got a fast break straight to the hole, drop the last eight, that's 24, and there's plenty more where that came from. Better know the flow, grade 8-1, and I'm ambidextrous, AI. They can plan to exit, they can't hide. I got hands in the fight like Mayweather. I know your man's in the mic, they can fake better, but they ain't never. They featherweight, treble clever, heavyweight, never stay, never delegate. My team, the greatest from the NYC to Vegas. Now that I'm in the game, I see the A-list, but none of them can't quite see me. They wish I'm raising the bar. You players ain't raking and taking up space at the bar when we drinking. I'm calling the play. You balling the ball, we balling the deck.
We going all the way. We taking off from here. Watch us, we go. Ain't no one blocking nor stopping. We know. We making every shot that we throw. Watch us, we go. We going all the way. You know we coming. We going all the way. Up to something. We going all the way.
So, ladies and gentlemen, today is Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. My name is Hollywood J. Black. This is the Overtime Sports Show. We're going to let this ride out for a little bit. We're going to keep it going.
What is good?
Welcome everybody to an all the way Wednesday version of the Overtime Sports Show. I am your boy James, aka Hollywood J. Black, live in the building once again. Oh man, we have had a hell of a week. First things first, let me shout out to my boy Robert Big Pev Peveroff for coming through last week with the hockey breakdown and some of his little sport tidbits. Man's a personal trainer, truck driver, everything extraordinary under the sun. He's also studying to be a cop now. So, man, shout out to my dude. You know what I'm saying? Two claps for that one. Clap, clap. Let's go. I'm really proud of old boy, man. Let me tell you something. Everybody that came from Vegas, that lived in Vegas, that grew up in Vegas, like I grew up in Vegas, like he grew up in Vegas, and his brother grew up in Vegas. My two brothers were a little bit older, but they lived the lifestyle of Vegas. All my homeboys, Big Sin, especially Big Sin. Everybody that came through Vegas, I will tell you right now, there ain't nothing easy about growing up in Vegas. Nothing's handed to you, not one bit. And to make it out of Vegas and to come out there and provide for your family and do what you need to do, man, listen, I have people. And this is going to be a little bit of the real part of the show. I got people, friends of mine that I went to high school with that I have lost to meth, other drugs, you know what I'm saying? And to see my mans who really had it rough, who struggled, you know, and now he's doing his thing. He's doing his personal training thing. He's got, you know, First Form products. Shout out to First Form for the supplements, by the way. It's just a little shameless plug. I still use my little First Form, so. Shout out to them. But to make it, man, it's something else. So for me to be blessed for him to come on the show and show up and show out, I appreciate that. That's really, really 100. So like I said, shout out to my mans, Robert Big Pev Peveroff. Shout out to my mans also, too, that does the intro for this show, Howard Treble Cox. That's my dude right there. I got the chance to see him after so long. Like, dude, that's my boy. And dude has been making music forever. If you can go on YouTube, also go on Facebook, excuse me. Check him out. Check out everything that he's done music-wise. His freestyles are sick. Oh, Jesus Christ. Ooh, that was a chest. So, shout out. Shout out to the, all my boys from Vegas. So, anyways, enough about the old personal stuff. Like I said, welcome to the Overtime Sports Show once again. We have a full plate of stuff to talk about, so I hope you got your popcorn ready. I hope that you got some time to sit down with your boy. We're going to kick it for about an hour, and then once it's done on the live stream, you can definitely check us out on the podcast where you'll not only find this, but bonus content that you won't find live on here. It's exclusive podcast talk that that you won't see here live on Facebook. We do it because, you know, hey, the podcast pays the bills. You know what I'm saying? So we got to do what we got to do. Big Sin out, still sick. This flu, man, is something else. I tell you, he was up and at it. He thought everything was good. And you know how it goes. You know what I mean? You hit that flu, that thing hit you. It's a wrap, boy. You know what I mean? So hopefully it feels better next time. We can get him back on the show. Also want to talk about, we're going to talk about what the Overtime Sports Show is going to start doing from here on out. Some changes that may concern you if you're a big fan of the show. You know what I'm saying? And not just here, but on the podcast as well. But before we get into the nitty gritty, we got to do a little bit of thing. We got to pay the bills. So check this out right here. All right, we back now. So, the All-Star Weekend, man. Let me tell you, living in Orlando, Florida, has given me the benefit of being in a town with an established, well-known, championship pedigree basketball team. And I know not everybody's going to say, you know, Hollywood, the Orlando Magic has never won a championship. And I tell you, sir, you are right. However, they have been to the finals twice now. They've been to the finals twice, two different centers. They've been there. They've been to the big dance. They know exactly what it takes to get to the big dance. They've had three of the biggest stars. Five of the biggest stars in the NBA, well-known NBA stars, starting with Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway, Dwight Howard, Tracy McGrady. That's, and for people basketball game that don't know about that, that's where he was. That's where he made a name for himself. Not in Houston. He made that name for himself in Orlando. And more recently, the snubbed, and I say this, snubbed NBA All-Star slam dunk, I call him the real champion. It seems like Orlando always gets that shaft, right? I feel like Orlando, they always get that shaft of being the real, of somebody always screwing them and not getting the fair shake that they need. It's happened with UCF. And for anybody that knows me, knows I got mad love and respect for the UCF Golden Knights. And everybody's going to come here and tell you, oh, Jay Hollywood, the UCF Golden Knights are not the real, and not the real champions, bro. And I say, they went undefeated. Nobody else went undefeated. They can share that championship with the team that won in 2018? The year 2018 going to 2019? No, actually, no. 2017 going to 2018. Oh, whatever. Whatever it is. Anyways, it's not the point. That's not the point of my conversation. The point is that Aaron Gordon got robbed in the slam dunk contest. Let me see if I can find a little video real right quick of what exactly happened. So to kind of break down what exactly happened in the slam dunk contest, it came down to Aaron Gordon and Derrick Jones. Derrick Jones from UNLV. Shout out to UNLV. Derrick Jones was that dude. He kind of had a little history. He kind of got ghosted on Instagram by a volleyball chick, and then once she found out that the volleyball chick, that Derrick Jones was Derrick Jones, she's like, oh, man, I really screwed that one up. See, damn right. Basketball player hops in your DMs, you better answer. Worst case scenario, you're going to be a baby mama with some millions, but I ain't one to gossip. You ain't heard that from me. That's not the point. The point is, I'm going to try and pull up these. I'm gonna pull up the Derrick Jones dunks from the All-Star game, and I'm gonna pull up the Aaron Gordon dunks, and we're gonna talk about who won. Actually, here we go. We got this one. We got. Can I have 8 minutes of your time? Maybe I can have 8 minutes of your time. We're gonna skip right to the nitty gritty. Let's see what we're gonna get to. I'm gonna make this worth your while, y'all. We're gonna get right to nitty gritty of this slam dunk contest. I'm gonna share it on here. Watch. Give me a second here. We're gonna get right to the action. Right to the action, y'all. Don't even worry. See, the Overtime Sports Show has the benefit of StreamYard, and we can just slap some stuff together. Watch this. See? And we all going to watch together. We're going to spend 8 minutes together out of love and respect. So let's get this thing started. I'm probably going to mute my mic. We're going to watch the whole. Well, I'm not even going to mind it. We're going to watch it together. Let's go.
It's so effortless.
Watch.
He's jumping just as high. He's doing, maybe not. I think that
there you go. See?
But I think that this is 250.
A lot of, yeah, you know, split-legged dunks.
This might be 49.
No. Somebody trying to get my nine?
This might be a 49.
Oh, no. That was kind of sick, though.
Somebody who should be taken off the judge panel.
This might be a 49. Look at Chan.
Come on, man. He jumped clear.
Look at
yeah.
Okay.
Yo, keep the party going. The dunk contest is too good to cover right now.
I agree.
Keep
the party.
Oh, yes! It is the first time in the history of the slam dunk that he's jumped over a guy off the backboard between the legs.
Over, oh, between the legs.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you right there, young gun. I'll give it to you. Reg, have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
Even, you know what, Reg?
It's crazy how the slam dunk contest went. I was really impressed by both dudes.
You know, I don't think I've seen it on.
Where's the 11?
Man, we need an 11.
They need 11.
We need
to get one miss.
That's a 50.
Look at that.
That's a 50.
Look at that. What are you going to do against that?
Look at this. Look at this.
One hand, back and pass, everything.
Shut it down.
Ooh,
snap.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Killer.
Shut it down.
What are we going to do against that? I don't even know. That was actually kind of sick. Side of the backboard.
That is
look, you take it off his shoes.
Dunk off. Two dunk off.
Yeah.
This is something. They both got 50. Dunk off.
Dunk off.
Watch this one.
What? I'm telling y'all, airplane mode.
Nasty.
Hey, that's gotta be. Give it to him. Hey, we can't be that cheap. We got two trophies lying around here somewhere.
You gotta give them to a boat, man.
Just got it.
Oh, you can't.
It's sick. Sick with it. Check it out.
Just need to stop.
Not doing it. Another set of tens. Look at that. See?
Oh my God.
What they doing?
Another set of tens.
Same dunk. I'll do the same thing.
He did the same dunk.
Scotty might give him a nine.
It's a tie.
Look at they're leaving.
Yeah, they can't keep doing it. It's over.
Yeah, get up. There you go, Dwayne. Just walk away, Dwayne. Walk away,
it's
Dwayne.
It's a tie, man.
It's a tie.
This.
Okay, it's over.
That's it.
Let it go. Now let it go.
It was crazy. It's crazy.
It's still tied after these dunks. Judge's decision.
Man, that's why there's five of them.
Oh, that's not even right.
That's why there's five of them.
I would leave.
Shaq, what do you have? You have something to say?
I'm a judge too.
Well, there's six.
Look at this one.
Oh, he's going to do Jordan.
He's going to do the Jordan. I watched this one, and I think he stepped just a little bit on the inside. You got to watch the dunk. Just watch it a little bit. Watch it a little bit.
That's a windmill for one step inside. He's mad because he did it so hard. But it's still a 50, brothers.
It is.
I mean, it's still a 50. Still a 50.
See?
Because he's one step
like, you couldn't. You can't.
One step in,
look at that.
He's mad at himself.
The windmill, like the twisty windmill, nasty, nasty dunk. Look at that.
That's graceful, too, y'all. Oh,
man.
That is graceful. That is beautiful.
This is nasty. Look at that.
Well, it's got to be a 52, right? I would assume.
That's a 50.
It's got to be a 50.
That's not a 50. Because of the velocity, the force,
the power,
the energy, yes. They have not done a dunk. That's not a 50.
Oh, my goodness. No. Are you kidding me, Candace?
No.
Oh, man.
Candace Parker,
somewhere Dominique is.
That is not
someone go put a mic in front of Dominique Wilson's face right now, because he knows this feeling. No, he knows this feeling.
That is not right.
Dominique knows exactly how Derrick Jones Jr. is feeling right now.
Because if he had done that dunk first, that would have been a 50. You can't penalize him for going against himself.
I'm with you, Derrick Jones. I'd go there and sit down too.
You're dunking against yourself.
Neek, you know.
Damn.
You know.
And I didn't think that was a 50 dunk right there, though. I think the last two dunks, these last two dunks were 50 dunks.
Watch. 50 and they gave him a 40.
Watch this one. Watch the last Aaron Gordon one. Watch this.
Well, against me,
it's coming. You see, Dominique is salty to the mug. Dominique Wilkins is like, man, your boy Derrick Jones got robbed.
He's going to bring out Taco. He's going to dunk over Taco.
No,
if he dunks over Taco. He's going to dunk over Taco. If he dunks over Taco.
And see, watch. I'm going to skip to the – we're going to skip to the dunk.
It's Taco Tuesday here in Chicago. It's Taco Tuesday.
Taco Fall comes out.
Here in Chicago.
This man's about to dunk over Taco Fall. Check this out, yo. Yeah, this is where it gets wild.
Taco Tuesday.
To understand, Taco Fall is 7'5" Any man that dunks over a 7'5" man, and he owns – he has the ball too. Watch. Watch this dunk. Tell me that this shouldn't have won.
Taco Tuesday. Oh, go get that.
Watch that. Watch.
So
watch it, y'all.
Yeah. If he does this dunk, he should have won.
Yes.
Right?
Wait. If he does it, like on the first one, what if he misses the double?
If you dunk over Taco. If you dunk over Taco the second time. If you jump over Taco Tuesday,
Taco Fall,
who is 7'5". You dunk over Taco, you win.
Yeah,
you win. You win.
He's 7'5".
You dunk over Taco, you win.
That's it. That should have been a wrap. That should have been done. It's game over. Once you dunk over somebody 7'5", it's a wrap.
You dunk over Taco, you win. You don't need to see a replay. You need to just put one.
Watch.
I'm going to tell you this. I feel for Derrick Jones Jr., though, because that was a 50.
Yeah, but it wasn't dumping over Taco, man.
Watch. We're going to skip to the thing. Watch it.
Taco
Watch how they do him.
Senegal with Boston.
Watch how they do him.
G League time.
What's taking so long, man? This is easy.
Waiting for the judges.
Well, they're all looking at each other's scores, too.
Oh, man, this is easy.
Oh. Told you, the highway robbery. You saw that? 2 10s, 3 9s. He dunked over the tallest man in the NBA and got screwed. The whole city is pissed. Majority of the NBA is pissed. I, as a sportsman, am pissed. I don't. The fact that D-Wade in Chicago, and it was a Miami Heat dude that won. And I'm not disrespecting anything that Jones did. This is really how this should have went. Jones should have got a perfect 10. Your boy Aaron Gordon should have got a perfect 10. Split the trophy. Wrap it up. Call a day. That's it. Ain't really nothing else. But the way that they did that, and the way that even Dwayne Wade justified him giving a 9, I'm like, nah, man. Nah. You come on. Really? Like, you know what was up. You know what was up. I don't know. That's a bunch of BS, man. I didn't like that. That left a really salty taste in my mouth. But it was a hell of a slam dunk contest. Your boy Pat Connaughton, the only white boy in the contest. See, last week I thought it was going to be your boy Alex Caruso. No, it was your boy Pat Connaughton from the Milwaukee Bucks came in. He did a dunk over, I believe he did a dunk over Giannis, if I remember correctly, or something like that. Dude, or did like assisted dunk from Giannis, which was actually kind of sick. To me, this is actually one of the most entertaining slam dunk contests in recent memory. But it's because Aaron Gordon was in it, to be dead honest with you. Aaron Gordon has had some of the most incredible dunks I've seen in a slam dunk contest in a while. which is also why it's a shame that he's regressed so much since last year. Last year, Aaron Gordon had developed a little bit of a three-point shot. You know what I mean? Little banky bank, little stanky stank three-point shot. This year, not so much. This year, it was just kind of sad. But I love to see Derrick Jones in the slam dunk contest. I thought he had an incredible show. I think everybody, including Dwight Howard, had a hell of a showing in the slam dunk contest. I got the whole video posted up on Sinful Black Sports. Just look up slam dunk contest on the page, and you're pretty sure that you'll find it. So go ahead and check that out. So anybody that's watching and listening on the podcast, is www.facebook.com/SYNFULBLAQ Sports. Check out all the sports videos that your wonderful heart can desire. But that's not the only thing that happened during that happened during the All-Star weekend. We had the Rising Stars Challenge, which used to be a freshman versus sophomore. What used to happen is that the sophomore used to always dominate the freshman because of that year in the NBA, because you can play a more team ball. I think maybe once or twice the freshman used to beat the sophomore, but not really much. So they changed the format a few years ago to USA versus the world. So we got to see weird combinations of Luka Doncic and RJ Barrett on the same team. RJ Barrett's from Canada. Actually, at some point, all the Canadians were in the lineup all at once. Thought that was pretty awesome. And they were playing some really, really good team ball, the AAU style assist and one style basketball type is, you know what I mean? But the USA came out on top. Trae Young had a monster game in the Rising All-Star. Not only that, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant and Zion Williamson was looking sick. And you know, people don't realize Ja Morant and Zion used to play on the same AAU basketball team. They used to be AAU teammates. Their chemistry, can you think about that? 2-3 years removed from AAU basketball, being on the same team, and those two had some of the best chemistry that I've seen in a while. Some of them dunks was sick, insane. I was really impressed. I tell you, the Rising Star Challenge was good. The Skills Challenge was really, really, really good. We actually have a new champion in the Skills Challenge. I gotta remember who won the Skills Challenge. It's eluding me. I know there's a new champion because the person that won it last year, it didn't even make it past the second round. Skills Challenge. So what is it? It was Bam Adebayo from Miami. That's who won it. That's actually impressive. The 6'11" big man, he was actually killing it from the 3-point line. The Skills Challenge, all people know, just a little bit of dribble, go around something, do the layup, come back up the thing, drive up, hit the 3-ball, and you good. That's what the Skills Challenge is. And Bam Adebayo did it better than anybody else. That thing, I thought that was really impressive to see a big man move like that. That was really good. Shout out to Big Bam Bam, probably one of my favorite players in the NBA right now, just because of the sheer size and the sheer rise of talent. This is like this a Miami thing, right? They get these big men like Whiteside, just came out of nowhere. Didn't think they was gonna really be too much, and all of a sudden it just skyrocketed right to the moon. It happened with Ronnie Cicely back in the day. OG Mourning was really like that good, and he got a bigger contract, you know, whatever. What else? Udonis Haslem, they seem to be able to find these big men that know how to do it all. So, I mean, shout out to Big Bam Bam. 3-point contest. I'm pretty sure the 3-point contest was I gotta remember who won. I watched the end of the 3-point contest. It was just crazy to see the person that won it last year get eliminated. Give me a second here. What the hell? What the hell? See? See what happened? I'm trying to. I can't get my iPad to communicate. See, this is why I fuck with Android. I can't get my shit to cooperate. So yeah, Buddy Hield from the Sacramento Kings won the 3-point challenge. You know, it's funny about we talk about this because Buddy Hield, I think his dad or his agent said that your man's was going to be better than Stephen Curry come year four. Buddy Hield, we're in year three right now. He's winning the 3-point contest. Dude has turned Sacramento into a low-key AFC that acts actually pretty – they're young, they got stamina, and they're pretty dangerous. I mean, I don't think that they'll beat, like, in a Clippers team or Nuggets team or even a Lakers team in the first round, but they might take them to six games, tire them boys out. Lakers got a bunch of OGs. Clippers got a bunch of OGs, but the Sacramento Kings are young and hungry. I wouldn't doubt it. If they keep – Sacramento keeps up, man, let me tell you. That's good. They're gonna have to watch out for them boys, man. Let me tell you that they ain't playing around. Sacktown ain't playing around, yo. Like they got Hild, they got Fox, they got Big Bagley 3, MB3, I like to call him, right? They ain't messing around. But shout out to Buddy Hield for winning that 3-point contest. The Michael Wilbon versus Stephen A. Smith. In the Celebrity All-Star Challenge, Michael Wilbon's squad won. They have some ringers in there. I saw Darius Miles in there, which was like, what? I ain't seen Darius Miles since 1884. Horace Grant, same thing. Horace Grant was hitting three balls in that game. I was like, what? And then now we get to the All-Star game. The All-Star game, basically, it was set with three different quarters. This is how this was set up. So it was three quarters. In all three quarters, there was a certain point limit that they had to reach. Or some quarters they had to win. And what happens if the team won those quarters, then the team that won those quarters would split. I guess they would give the money to a charity of Giannis's or LeBron's choosing, depending on who won each quarter. It was actually pretty exciting. They went back and forth. The competition gap in that game was actually a little bit tighter than it has been in recent history. I think the last time it was like that tight was maybe about 5-6 years ago, where it was like it wasn't really ridiculously one-sided up to a certain point. It came down to 2 points. It was 157 to 155. The team had to get the 157 in order to win the game. Anthony Davis won the hit the last free throw in order to win. I think it was done on purpose. Let me tell you why. Everybody talks about, well, why, James? Why would you think this is done on purpose? So 157 to 155. If you add up the numbers individually, 157, 13, 155, 11, 13 plus 11 is what? 24. And what's Kobe Bryant's number? 24. I know a lot of people have been thinking, making that a meme, but let me tell you something. Anthony Davis is actually a pretty decent free throw shooter. And the way that he missed that free throw was kind of blatant. Yes, he would have got the 157, right? However, the problem would have been, I think he would have had to take another free throw to get the 158, and it would have been done. If they would have did that, that would have messed up the numbers. They had to take the free throw shots. That's where the problem lies. So that first free throw shot looked really intentional. That first miss, I mean. And then he lands that second one, gets 157. It's a wrap game. Also, it doesn't allow the other team to score. Everybody's happy. So if you're asking me, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I know a conspiracy when I see one, and that looked like one. That legitimately looked like one, but not a conspiracy in a bad way. But I think it was when they probably determined, depending on where this went and how it got, that how this was supposed to end up. I think one way, whether it was 155 on one side and 155 on the other side, the other team would have hit the other two and it would have been Kobe and it would have been done. So I had my doubts. Let me tell you something. I really had my doubts about this game, but I like the competitive balance that this game was. I like how – I think, like I said, it's been a minute since an all-star game has been competitive. I'm pretty sure if I go back into the history of all-star game scores, I'm not going to find a lot of competitive games. Maybe the overtime one with Kobe and Michael. Maybe. But that's really pushing it. That's really like, oh, I don't know. We got to go back 20 years for a good all-star game? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to look up them stats. I am the executive producer. I'm not hiring nobody else to look up these damn stats while I'm doing my air thing. So you're just going to have to believe me. You're going to have to look it up for yourself and let me know the results. So with that being said, shout out to LeBron, shout out to Giannis, and shout out to everybody that played in the NBA All-Star game. Y'all are the A1 aficionados, and we appreciate everything y'all do. I know everybody talks about it's just a game and y'all play it for us, our enjoyment, and that is fine. But yes, but they are the ones putting their bodies on the line to provide for their family the best type of life that I sure as hell can't get out there on that basketball court. I will get shook the fuck up. I'm a football guy. My knee's still fucked up. So shout out to you guys. Appreciate y'all for everything y'all do in the NBA. Now, we got the NBA coming back up tomorrow. By the time you see on the podcast, but it pops up on Thursday, you've got the whole thing shebang popping up on there. So NBA is going to be in action. We got 6 games on deck. We'll talk about that. I actually have a little broadcast later. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But now we got to get into some news before I get into the fallout for the sign stealing scandal. We got some news. The Cleveland Cavaliers I can't pronounce this dude's last name. I think it's Bielim. The Cavs got rid of the coach Bielim. He's gone. Apparently there was some drama, some misinformation, some BS. I don't know what the hell was going on, but at the end of the day, what ended up happening is very simple. He lost control of that locker room. He lost control of the team. He lost control of everything. And they said, "Now you can't be the coach. Don't work. Because it's not working when you're 14-40. And it's, but here's the thing, though. All right, so let's really, really break this down. And I'm going to ask, we're going to keep it real simple. Watch this. Real simple. You ready for this? Ready for my question? Here's my question. Is there anybody in the Eastern Conference worse than the Cleveland Cavaliers? Team from the first man to the 12th man. Is there anybody in the NBA worse than the Cleveland Cavaliers? I'd even beg to say that Golden State in their shambled state right now is a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Cleveland Cavaliers have legitimate starters on their team. Here's the problem. They're not really a team. They're just a bunch of guys playing basketball. That's not the coach's fault. That's not the player's fault to a point we can't. Well, let me phrase that. It's not just the coach's fault. It's not just the player's fault. It's everybody that's related under the sun. Let's see. We got a comment. Yeah, damn. I'm telling you, I'm dead serious about Golden State. Golden State being a better team. And there's not a better team. There's not a worse team in the NBA other than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Because look, the Timberwolves, if Karl Anthony Towns is healthy, are a way better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Way better team. That's not even a question. I don't even think. I'm good, Mr. Toby. Thank you for showing up, man. I appreciate you, bro. I'm real, real good. We got comments coming in from the comment section. That's my man, Toby. The Timberwolves are a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers, okay? The Hawks just had a bad string of luck. The Hawks at full strength are better than the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Knicks, as a poorly ran organization, are still a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Pistons, Derrick Rose is carrying that whole team, and they're still a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cleveland Cavaliers are absolute dog shit trash. And it's not because of anything else. They just finally traded for Andre Drummond. You know what I'm saying? They got Exum like a month ago. But other than that, this team from top to bottom is not a winner. And it's not, and like I said, it's not just the coach's problem. It's not just the player's problem. It's a mix of everybody. There's no cohesiveness. There's no, like, you know, this is what we're doing. There's none of that. They really screwed up with Jordan Clarkson. They screwed that one up real bad. So I'm not surprised that they're that bad. I'm not surprised. Like, if you got to shoot, Jordan Clarkson is flourishing in Utah. Flourishing. Being used properly and flourishing. Having the best season of his career in 2 weeks in Utah. But yet, Cleveland couldn't use him. Kevin Love is a perennial all-star. And yes, he's had a share of injuries. But when he's fully healthy, one of the top 10 power forwards in the NBA. And he's trash this year. They drafted Colin Sexton in the first round. I've seen Colin Sexton's resume. I've seen him in college. At Colin Sexton's peak, he is a really decent point guard. I won't say top 10. I'd say top 20. Okay? Especially since there's point guards that do double duty. You know, when I say double duty, I mean like they're on the bench. Like, so some teams have two point guards. Lou Will and Patrick Beverley are both point guards. Okay. But somehow, some way, I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers have figured out a way to bomb this whole shit. I don't know what the hell is going on in that organization. But it's like without LeBron, they don't know what to do. I don't know whether the owner doesn't want to spend no more money over there. Maybe Kobe Altman doesn't really know how to be a GM over there. Who knows? What I do know is that if it keeps going the way it's going, Cleveland is going to be the laughing stock of the NBA again. The difference is there's no Kyrie Irving to save you. There's no LeBron to save you. There's no Brad Doherty's or Mike Price's or Craig Elo's out there. Hell, there's not even any Sean Kemp's. There's no Chris Childs. There's none of that. Cleveland is just going to be Cleveland. Cleveland's not going to make the playoffs for a while, yo. I'm going to tell you like it is. If a team like Minnesota, it needed Jimmy Butler to make the playoffs. Jimmy Butler, who is a monster of a man in his own right. Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns. It took them two. Remember when New Orleans backed into the playoffs? After losing DeMarcus Cousins, they backed in with Anthony Davis, and that's all they really had? It's going to take more. It's going to take more. And unfortunately, unless Cleveland gets better at drafting and finds a coach that's committed to building this team, it's going to take a hell of a coach too. Like, you're going to need, like, you're going to have to find basically the next Brad Stevens. Excuse me. Man, it's been a rough week with this damn cold. You're going to have to find a Brad Stevens. You're going to have to find a guy that just says, you know what? This is my team. It's not your team, Mr. Glove. It's not your team, Mr. Sexton. It's not your team, Mr. Exum. It's not none of y'all's team. This is my team, and this is how I'm running it. Essentially getting the Shanahan of the NBA. Unfortunately, right now, there's only Brad Stevens. And I don't really know if there's anybody in the college ranks that he can even compete. Maybe you find a way to pay Coach K billions of dollars. Maybe the first billion-dollar contract for a head coach. Who knows at this point? But Coach K, it's gonna take a genius. And I don't know where we're going to be at this point, but Cleveland's not it. Cleveland's not it right now. They're going to have to figure out something else. In other news, going back to the NBA, the Chicago Bulls are on the hunt for a new GM. As you know, they fired their GM, I think, 2 weeks ago? Somewhere around there? I'd have to dig deeper into that one. Give me a second here. Let me pull up the Chicago Bulls. If I remember correct, let me tell you something. I swear, I wish I had that, man. I'd be up at a hospital, and I'd make sure there's strippers in my hospital, okay, if I had the damn coronavirus. I'm like, y'all ain't going to have me go out like the damn, like, you know what I'm saying, like China, nigga. Fuck all that. I can't do that. I got a whole following. The Overtime Sports Show in all its glory. Actually, let me rephrase that. Simple Black Sports as a whole has a large following in the Philippines. Believe that. All my replays of this show, once it's live, because right now it's like 11 a.m. The Filipinos are hard at work when this show comes on. By the time this show goes off, or by the time I repost and do a podcast, the Filipinos are all over it, man. Let me tell you. So hopefully, maybe, who knows? Maybe I am their saving grace in the Philippines and in China for sports, because they can't reach the outside world. Maybe I'm all they got. Who knows? I got to do it for China, baby. I got to do it for Asia, okay? That's what we're doing it for. That's why we do this show. Why are we doing this show? For Asia, damn it, okay? All jokes aside, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls, to me, are the biggest enigma in the NBA. Let me tell you why, okay? So, after they decided to move on from Derrick Rose, and they moved on from Jimmy Butler, at that point they hired Fred Hoiberg. Well, actually, they hired Fred Hoiberg, and him and Jimmy Butler didn't get along. John Paxson was the GM at this point, and I have no idea. It's been some dark times. Paul Gasol even balled out for the Chicago Bulls, okay? It came to the point where Paul Gasol, at some point, was their best player. And they had your boy, the European dude, the dude from Spain. I can't remember his name. The name starts with a B or something. They had him, and they traded him because, tell me, I don't get this. And I remember the fight. There was a fight between this dude and then the other dude in Chicago. And they fought. The nigga broke the other dude's jaw. I don't know why this name is escaping me. I'll probably just look it up. Chicago. There was a fight. Bobby Portis. There we go. Between Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic. The sweet and sour chicken. Yes, I know. I probably shouldn't be eating the damn sweet and sour chicken. I can't eat it though. I'm a pescatarian, okay? I'm eating sweet and sour shrimp, all right? And who even knows if it's real shrimp at this point? But anyways, I digress. Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic. So you took a guy who's a big-ass power forward, that was a bench player at this point, that has no redeeming qualities, and Paul Gasol was outplaying at some point. You have him. And then you have Nikola Mirotic, who was balling the hell out. And the Chicago Bulls chose to go with Bobby Portis. He's the reason why Nikola Mirotic is in the NBA. I mean, he's out of the NBA, excuse me. That is the reason why. Because Nikola Mirotic signed with New Orleans, bought the hell out of New Orleans, realized, you know what? I don't want to play NBA ball no more. Y'all niggas is wild. And that's what he did. He said, fuck y'all. He pulled a Dr. Dre. He said, fuck y'all. All of y'all, if y'all don't like me, blow me. And he bounced out to play European ball. It's crazy. If the choice ever came between Bobby Portis or Nikola Mirotic on any other team, Bobby Portis would have got us. We would have sent Bobby Portis' ass packing. But somehow, some way, the Chicago Bulls decided, Nah, Bobby Portis is more important than Nikola Mirotic. And that, my friends, was the downfall of the Chicago Bulls at that point. We had knew that we have reached critical level with the Chicago Bulls once that happened and they took Bobby Portis aside, it was a wrap. There was no coming back from that. The Bulls haven't been relevant since. It's sad because such a historic franchise headlined by the most historic player and the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan, is reduced to being a perennial 12th or 13th seed in the Eastern Conference. It's sad, actually. And I'm not even exaggerating that. It's sad. I think that this team needs a new everything. New coach. I'd start over. Maybe. I don't know. You got Dunn. Chris Dunn. You got him. You got the boy that you drafted. You got Valentine, who's off injured. Maybe if you keep him healthy, you're good. And you have a nice little young core. But everybody else, man. Zach LaVine, can't forget about Zach LaVine. That dude's an all-star. He's been balling. He's been improving every single year. But that whole Bulls team, you got to throw them shits out, man. Just toss them bitches. I know people aren't going to like that opinion either, but that's not the point. The point is, hold on. I got YouTube activating on my shits. No, excuse me. Sorry. I got YouTube activating on my shit. So here's who I would say. If I'm the GM, this is who I'm keeping. I'm keeping Dub C Jr., Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Otto Porter, because I paid him a bunch of money for no stupid reason. Sartoransky, Kobe White, Denzel Valentine. And maybe if I can get him on the low, Thaddeus Young. That's it. Everybody else is up for trade. Even at that, if you want to offer me some good money for Kobe White or anybody else I just named, fine. Take it. Start over. This is what the Bulls need. The Bulls need to find themselves another Michael Jordan. Isn't it also sad, though? Like, these Midwest teams, Cleveland, Chicago, Detroit. Remember all these teams grind out basketball? And not even playoff teams no more, man. That's sad. That's actually pretty damn sad. But I digress. Now, we got to get into the science-stealing scandal. And before I get into the science-stealing scandal, I like to point out that I don't know the full details and intricacies of it. I know what I see on the news. Baseball is not my forte, so I also can't tell you the impact of what would happen if signs were stolen, except for what the players tell you, okay? I want to tell you this in advance before I make the following statement and then explain why. I'm explaining my statement. Now, my understanding is this, is that the Houston Astros used high-tech equipment, cameras, trash cans, cameras in trash cans, the whole nine, to steal pitching signs from their opposing teams in order to obtain a competitive advantage. That is my understanding. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but that is just the gist of it. There's probably a lot more to it. I also heard that there was Jose Altuve and buzzers involved and all that kinds of other shit with them stealing pitching signs. Now, people will tell you, you know, it's not so bad. And plus, the Houston pitching staff dominated the other team. And okay, that's fine. I get what you're saying and all that jazz, and that's all fine and dandy. But what people don't realize is that when it comes to coaching, when you're coaching or managing a team, this is my understanding, is that that's your way of how you do things is always in direct response to what happened last and the plan for the future. So if you know that Houston's stealing pitching signs, I mean, well, you don't know, but if you know that you're down 3-1, you know what I'm saying, and you're trying to figure out what the hell happened, or 4-1, or you're winning a game and all of a sudden things just start shifting on the pitching side, That's a problem. That's a huge problem. This, to me, is worse than anything that Pete Rose has ever done. Probably one of the worst things that has ever happened to Major League Baseball in the history of ever. And if it goes true, and it's been going on since 2017 or maybe even before. Now, the commissioner is being real coy about what it is. And he's nice little slap on the hand and shit like that. Pete Rose never affected the outcome of a baseball game. Never. Point blank, period. There's really only one solution. One solution to this whole scandal. The Houston Astros championships, gone. Stripping away. Awarded to the other team. And everybody's going to be like, oh, but they played the Dodgers and the Dodgers were whining. It's not even it. Let me tell you why. Because we can't even fathom exactly how bad this is. We can't even begin to encompass how many games were stolen from other teams. And we're at the point where you have to look at it like this. What if some of the last minute wins? What if some of the last minute wins were like that? What if some of the last minute wins were because the Houston Astros stole signs? What if some of the comeback victories that the Houston Astros did were because they stole signs? How many games were affected? If it was enough games to take them out of playoff contention, so let's say you flip every single game that it was affected by the stealing signs. If that game would have flipped them out of playoff contention because they stole signs, then you have absolutely no choice but to strip them of their World Series titles and award them to the other team. And everybody's going to be like, that would be unfair. No, it's way more than fair. And that's like the first thing that needs to be done. I'm talking about player bans. I'm talking about postseason bans. They need to treat the Astros like they treated SMU at some point. They need the death penalty. This isn't just, steroids, HGH. Ain't none of that. It's none of that. This is much, much worse than steroids. This is much, much worse than HGH. This is much, much worse than Pete Rose gambling on his team to win. It's just as bad as what the White Sox did in 1919. And I agree, and I would even think that it's probably worse. Because the full encompassment of what they did over a three-year span is unknown and unfathomable, what they did. We don't even know how bad this is. We've dipped into a well that virtually has no depth. So in order to rectify this, you have to strip everything away. You have to get rid of the titles. You have to get rid of, if Cy Young's war, you got to get rid of all that shit. You're done. Death penalty. No postseason for 5 years. And if they don't want to show up, then that's fine too. But I'd make them play. If they don't come out and play and get their asses whooped, then they're going to get fined for every single game they don't show up to. $5 million a game over 152 games. Let's go. Let's count them ducats. It needs to be death penalty. SMU-style death penalty. Done. Anything less, and it's a slap on the wrist. The Houston Astros cheated and tilted games specifically in their favor to an amount that none of us can even determine. There's nothing less than a full death penalty that would even suffice. Nothing less. So, Mr. Commish, you probably don't even listen to the show, but if you do, I need you to listen here. And this is from the bottom of my heart. And I know that you've always talked about protecting the integrity of the game. There is nothing more with integrity more than what has happened here. This is coming as a human being, not as a sports fan, but as a human being. If let's just put it this way. If the Golden State Warriors were to come in to the were to come into a game and somehow can program the basketball to go into the 3-point hoop every single time, wouldn't they get banned? I would surely do. They manipulated the game in order for them to succeed. There's no way to tell how bad this is. So in order to rectify this, you have to shut everything down. Get rid of the World Series, or for them, get rid of somebody else. 5-year ban from postseason play. I don't care how good they are. And they got to come out and show up. And they got to pay their players. And those players got to pay the price for their bullshit. That's it. It's really nothing else to it. Like I said, anything else is uncivilized. And I don't want to hear that shit that, oh, we can't just take away the livelihood. Well, they took away the livelihood of for 3 years in a row for other players. They sure fuck did. Because what if other players depended on bonuses off those games that they stole away? What about that? What about those pitchers that pitched the game of their life and their game is all about deception? What about the catchers that throw out the signals? What about them? What about those guys that were supposed to be great in their craft and all of a sudden the Astros cheat and then they just get away with it? You can't do that. You can't do that, man. If I had done something like that at a job that I worked at in a way that I stole something from another company, there'd be antitrust lawsuits. I'd not only be fired, I'd be sued, and I'd probably make sure I'd never work in the city of Orlando again. If I were to do in the same way that they did it. We can't have that. That's got to change, man. That's got to change. Like I said, death penalty. It's only other way that this is going to go down. Death penalty. All right. Now that I had to get that stress off my my line, let's talk about the XFL. XFL has actually been pretty good. I mean, I've watched the full set of games for 2 weekends in a row. I was actually interested enough when I was out on the road. I watched it. I pulled it up on my little phone. Matter of fact, when we were in Atlanta, I pulled it up my phone. I watched the first set of games while we were waiting for the thing. I'm impressed. I am thoroughly impressed. A lot of people, we had some doubts. You know, I had my doubts. I thought Vince McMahon was going to bring back He Hate Me in the custom jerseys and all that shit. No. Dude is legitimately creating decent, watchable minor league football. I am so happy and so excited. This is probably some of the best. Like, if you haven't seen the XFL and you need a football fix, watch the XFL. This isn't like the AAF where you had a bunch of amateurs. I mean, there are some amateurs. But here's the kicker. They're in the works, probably a couple years out, to where the XFL is going to be an alternative to going to college. So, like, situations where Maurice Claret back in 2003, not going to happen. Wouldn't that be pretty awesome? Wouldn't that be pretty cool that you get to a point where you're like, before we get to that, yes, exactly, Toby. That's exactly my point about that science stealing scandal. That's really exactly my point, is that the integrity of the game itself. Like, why? It's kind of like with boxing was letting all this shit slide, and the reason why we don't watch boxing and people watch UFC now. Why would they, if they let them get away with this without no kind of punishment, this is going to be bad for baseball. Baseball's already suffering because of ratings and attendance. This is going to be really bad for baseball as a whole if they get away with it. The hammer needs to come down. But the XFL has actually been pretty good. I would suggest watching this weekend. We have some really good games coming on. Let me see. I'll tell you. Give me a second. Schedule. So this is what's coming on right now. So this coming up week, we have the Houston Rednecks going against the Tampa Bay Vipers, the Renegades versus the Dragons, the Guardians versus the Battlehawks, and the Defenders against the Wildcats. That, I mean, for those that are in the know and that have been watching it and really paying attention to it, this is some real, real good football. I think Dallas finally got their win. They finally got a win that they could be proud of, which was good, right? I'm happy about that one. How can you trust any team that wins now? Exactly, and that's another thing, and that's really a big thing. Because right now, unless you have everybody inspecting every stadium on every game, and in the MLB, who freaking knows at this point, because they run 2 days, sometimes 3 days, at every baseball stadium, and I've never seen a situation, because they play 152 games a season, where every day is a good slate of 10 baseball games. You got that many inspectors that you're going to hire? Just saying. But the XFL is watchable football. Cardale Jones is actually one of my favorite quarterbacks. I liked him back on Ohio State. I love his story. Watch the XFL. I got highlights. I'm posting those start posting them every time they drop. Please watch them. Please look into it. Please check it out. For the love of everything holy, please check it out. Also, we also have some NFL news where Stephon Diggs might not be a Minnesota Viking anymore, which is pretty interesting. And Mr. Toby might be interested in you too, the rumors, because there's only one team with not necessarily the draft capital, but the necessary player that can trade off and it be worth it. And I don't know, though, if the Bears are willing to part with a defensive player for an offensive player, but Stephon Diggs would give Mitch Trubisky an A1 target in Chicago. The word on the street is that Khalil Mack might end up being traded for Stephon Diggs, which should be interesting, but also that Chicago might be getting a legitimate quarterback in the name of Andy Dalton. Should be interesting. Think about this though. With any of these teams that are on the radar, as far as need to dump off players and salary, you got a guy like Mitch Trubisky still on his rookie. We're still on his rookie contract. If they could trade him for a guy like Andy Dalton, or hell, like you get Cam Newton out there, you think about that for a second. Cam Newton in Chicago, if for all his press conferences and his BS, a fully healthy Cam Newton is a way better quarterback than Mitch Trubisky in his sleep. Anybody's gonna be like, "Oh, you crazy?" No, Cam Newton healthy, fully healthy Cam Newton is a better quarterback than the majority of the quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't want to hear any mess about, "Oh, he was bad last year. He didn't have a shoulder last year. He didn't have a shoulder the year before. He wanted to play for Carolina, and Carolina told him, oh, yeah, you can play until you're injured, and then we're going to make you the scapegoat." And that's exactly what happened in Carolina. They made him the scapegoat, him and Ron Rivera. But that's just a rumor. Don't hold me to it. All right. Now, last but not least, is something that I didn't want to talk about. First things first, it's not bad news. It's not bad news. No, the Overtime Sports Show is staying here. We're not going anywhere. We are not going anywhere. Next week, we are taking a somewhat of a hiatus. I'm building up something. So season 3 starts the first week of March. Season 3, we're going to have our same theme, but we're going to be live streaming to 2 channels. At one time, ladies and gentlemen, we will be both live streaming the YouTube and Facebook. At the same time, we will be live streaming the podcast here And the podcast is going to have a bunch of extras. You will catch us here early on in the week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, as time permits. If there's a schedule change, I will let you know. But our podcast is going to have three parts to it. More than likely, because of the way that Big Sin's schedule works, I'm going to be working a lot of the podcast myself. However, I will be having guests on from time to time. My plan, hopefully, Mr. Tobey, I know he's watching, is to have this man on here eventually. I know he's down to do it. You're going to see a lot of more of hockey breakdown from my man Robert Big Pep Peveroff. He's going to become a big part of the show. We're also going to be doing interviews with athletes. That's going to be a next part of the show. You've seen a lot of stuff where we've done a lot. There's only so much that I could talk about on this show. A lot of news. Yes, I know. There's a lot of news and everything that goes on in the show. But the goal is to get more people engaged with the Overtime Sports Show. So this is not, we're not going anywhere at all. We're taking next, probably the only week off I've taken all year, because when I recommitted to doing this show back in June, I said I'm going to have to do it my way by any means necessary. So that's what I'm going to do. So come, we're going to take, not going to be an Overtime Sports Show next week. I'm going to throw maybe a little highlight package of the best of the Overtime Sports Show, some of our hot takes. Big Sin still has not been here since the Super Bowl. He still needs to break down exactly who won and who lost. I think I've won a video game, and he hasn't told me anything. So I guess we got to see. But until then, y'all, I want to tell everybody thank you for showing up and watching the Overtime Sports Show. I really appreciate y'all and love y'all. We will be back. I want to say 28th, 29th, 1, 2, 3. We'll be back March 2nd, 2020 with a whole new bag. Fresh off the presses, live streaming, double takes, everything and all that. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, I am your boy, James, a.k.a. Hollywood J. Black. And again, it is much appreciated. Thank you for watching the Overtime Sports Show. We will see you March 2nd. But until then, we are out this bitch. Deuces.